All right, Deuteronomy 29. Anything in the text that you wanted to talk about this morning before we launch? Chapter 29, verse 5 says, I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes are not waxing old upon you. Thy shoe is not waxing old upon thy foot. And, you know, it's just one of those little things that we find in the Scripture that shows God's care. So, of all the things that the children of Israel had to be concerned about during that time they traveled from Egypt to the Promised Land, shopping for clothes was not one of them, right? Making clothes, not one of them. That was just one less thing. And to imagine that God had provided that all the way. God can do anything He wants to do, can He? And it's so important for us to remember God is not limited. And what we might think insignificant, but God took care of it. God provides for us. And so we need to always be mindful that even in the little things, how many of you ever prayed that God would show you a paperclip when you needed one? You're like looking around, oh God, I just need one paperclip. And then God said, all right, here's a paperclip. And those prayers, and I think it was somebody was telling the story the other day about, you know, when you pray for a parking spot. Remember, Lord, please give me a parking spot. If you'll just give me a parking spot closer to the front door, I'll serve you the rest of the days of my life. Never mind. Somebody just backed out here. Never mind. You know, and when God provides, let's not take away and diminish His glory and His ability. And sometimes we do say, well, you know, that wasn't God. That was my friend Fred that took care of it. No, God can use Fred. God can use us. So those blessings, they come from the heart of God, from His will, from His desire, from our prayer. And while He may use a neighbor, a friend, a relative, or even an enemy to meet that need, we should always give Him praise because it comes from His heart. And this is just one of those things. They didn't need shoes. They didn't have to make shoes. All that time, their shoes fit. All that time, their clothes fit. And I don't know about you, but I have some fat clothes and some skinny clothes and some in-the-middle clothes. Anybody else have that? I wear the same belt that's got a bunch of little holes in it. But I have all different sizes of clothes according to the season of the year, right? But, right? Yeah, I've got some of those too. They're just maybe, right? Maybe one day. So we have all these. But over 40 years, God said they didn't need it. He took care of it. It's just the significance of the insignificant things that God provides for, insignificant to us. Verse 24, chapter 29. Even all the nations shall say, wherefore hath the Lord done thus to this land? What meaneth the heat of this anger? So what are we talking about? We're talking about if they don't serve God, if they're not faithful to God, that God will bring judgment and punishment. And when He does that, the rest of the world sees it. Guys, it's so important for us to realize the world is watching us. We have made a statement of faith. We have a testimony that says we believe God, that says we're going to serve God, that says, and by saying so, it says we're going to live by the Word of God. And especially if we go to church. Now, you know, we've attached our reputation to all these other people. So not only if they see me, they attach that to you. What would happen if I did something and now they look at you and they say, well, your preacher such and such, right? Your pastor did such and such. And people will do that. And by the way, they'll do it the other way too. They'll come to me and say, well, that member of your church did such and such. So they're watching us. They know what we're supposed to do. They know how we're supposed to act. They know the code that we say we're going to live by. So the world is watching, and when God brings the heat down on Jerusalem or on Israel or on His people, Moses says the world is watching. Understand, the world is watching. Verse 25, then men shall say, because they have forsaken the covenant of the Lord God of their fathers, which He made with them when He brought them forth out of the land of Egypt. So what's the answer? I know I just read it, but what's the answer? A covenant. They broke the covenant. How many of you are in a covenant relationship? If you're married, you're in a covenant relationship. If you're a member of the church, you're in a covenant relationship. You have agreed. There is a covenant, an agreement that says, I'm going to do such and such. And if you're saved, right, we're in a covenant agreement. You're baptized. You're in a covenant agreement. So we've made a deal with God. I know that word sounds different than covenant, but we've agreed with God that we're going to live a certain way. We're going to do certain things. But pastor, I can be saved and I don't have to be a good person to go to heaven. I just have to have the blood of Christ to wash my sins away. I'll accept that answer. But you've made an agreement about how you're going to live. And God's made an agreement of how he's going to relate to you according to how we live. So if we're going to live like the devil, then God's going to treat us that way. Now, over and over in the Bible, and that's why it's so important. How many Jews do we have in the room? Okay, so this is not your history we're reading, right? You're not Jewish. This is not your history. Then why are we studying it? Because these are God's people. And how God interacts with his people relates to us. It is important for us to know the word, to know the law, to know the history of our faith, right? Because it's not about the blood or the ethnicity or the Jewishness. It's about how God interacts with people who covenant with him, who agree to be his people. So they broke the covenant. They forsook the covenant. By the way, it's a covenant that he made with them when he brought them forth out of the land of Egypt. Why did he bring them out of Egypt? Because they begged him to. They were crying, God, save us. And God said, okay, I hear your prayer. Why did you get saved? Why did God save you? Why did God save me? Because I asked him to. Because I said, God, I am a sinner, and I don't want to go to hell, and I don't want to live outside of your world. I want to be part of your life. God, save me. I asked him. He didn't ask me. He made a way. He provided a way. He sent messengers. He sent prophets. He sent his only begotten son. He made everything possible. But ultimately, it was up to me. You say, but no man comes to the Father but by Jesus, and no one can come to the Father except the Spirit draw him. You're right. But you know, I've been invited a lot of places I didn't go. Ultimately, it was up to me, wasn't it? Ultimately, it was up to you to be saved or not, to enter into that covenant or not. So it was my choice. God did not force salvation on me. Verse 26, they went and served other gods, worshiped them, gods whom they knew not, and whom he had not given unto them. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against this land to bring upon it all the curses that are written in this book. What does that tell us? What's that? Okay, don't make God mad. But they knew what the rules were. How many of you ever knowingly broke a rule? Okay, I see one hand went right up. Yep, that was me. I was the one. That's right. Every one of us knowingly broke a rule. And we knew we were breaking the rule when we did it. So they knew that God said, I am a jealous God. I am the only God. There is no God beside me. So they knew that ahead of time, and yet they went and worshiped idols, statues. How much could those statues do for them? Nothing. It's wood. It was a tree at one time. It was a tree that God gave life to. That the process of natural order that God created gave life to a tree. And then somebody came along and cut that tree down. And somebody fashioned that piece of wood into a form, whether it was an animal or whether it was a person, and they began to fall down and worship a block of wood, Brother Ronnie. And the plagues, each one of the plagues that Egypt went through, endured, represented a god that Egypt worshipped. And so each one, they say, well, we'll just call on that god to take it away. No, that was the whole point. There is no God. And so that represented. So they knew what the rules were. They broke them intentionally. Verse 28, the Lord rooted them out of their land in anger and in wrath and in great indignation and cast them into another land. So he uprooted them. He took away everything they had. In this process of years, and he took everything they had. Now, remember, what are we talking about here? We're talking hypothetical. This is hypothetical. This is, if you don't serve me, this is what will happen. And this is what people will say. So we can chase this down in our imagination about how far we're willing to go and how much we're willing to lose when it comes to God, when it comes to our lives. Does God have a way of getting our attention? If God has to speak to us out loud, it means we weren't listening. Right? Has to knock some sense into us, doesn't he? There are signs everywhere. I know that we don't live logically. We live spiritually. I understand that not everything works out logically when it comes to our faith. But if we'll just pay attention to what we're doing and what's going on around us, we can serve God well, and that will serve us well. Verse 29, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever. How many of you would agree there's some things we don't know about life? Things I don't even know about myself. I go to the doctor and the doctor runs a scan and runs a test. It comes back and says, your cholesterol is too high. I didn't know that. Right? How was I supposed to know my cholesterol was too high? It's all that bacon you eat. Thanks, doc. I've heard enough from you. Right? There's some things I don't know about me. Right? A friend of ours went to the doctor this week. And they say, well, we think something's wrong with his pancreas. It comes back multiple things. Bad diagnosis. He didn't know before he went. There are secret things. There are some things we don't know about how life is going to work out. What's going to happen tomorrow? What day are you going to die? What day am I going to die? Oh, no, secret things. But the things that are revealed to us, we're responsible for. There are things that God does reveal to us. What's going to happen in the future? Tell me some things you know are going to happen in the future. You don't know that. You don't know you're going to die, do you? Jesus is coming back. I know he's coming back. And I understand. It wasn't a trick question. It just worked out that way. But the truth is, we all say, well, we're going to die. We have life insurance. We have funeral arrangements, plans, burial plots or cremation or whatever it is you've got in mind. You've already got it figured out, who's going to sing and what they're going to sing and who's going to preach and what they're going to say. And we've got all that stuff figured out, and we might never need it. Might come back today, right? So we don't know. I know he's coming back, but I don't know when. I know, because I read the book of Revelation, right? I know we win in the end. I know I'm going to heaven, don't know when, but I know I'm going. I know I'm going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ because the Bible says I will. I don't know when, don't know what he's going to say exactly. I've got an idea. But I know that at some point he's going to say, I hope, right? What's your greatest desire? I'm sure it's the same as mine. Well done. Man, that'd be great, wouldn't it? Well done. Boy, if he just says that, I'll be so relieved. And so we're working toward that, and our efforts are in that. And I don't know a lot of things, but I know this. I know Jesus is coming back. I know there's going to be an Antichrist and a beast and a tribulation, great tribulation. I know there's going to be a battle of Gog and Magog and Armageddon. I know there's a whole lot that's about to happen. Don't know when. I don't know. I don't even know who the beast is. We might even argue about who the two witnesses are. But I know that it's going to happen. There are some things I certainly know, but the timing I'm not sure of. So there are some secret things, but the things that have been revealed to me, I'm responsible for. If you will, go to chapter 30, verse number 6. It says, "The Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart." So, the circumcision of the heart. Circumcision as a medical and as a covenant procedure removes flesh. It removes flesh. And the description here of removing flesh, again, it's in a spiritual sense. God's not doing cardiac surgery, right? It's a spiritual sense. In other words, he's taking the flesh, the selfishness, all of that out of it. He will circumcise the heart and the heart of thy seed. Boy, wouldn't it be wonderful if all of our children would serve God? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Would be faithful to God. Would, and, you know, they're saved, but what if they just commit their lives to living for God and serving God? That would be wonderful. And with all thy heart, to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, that thou mayest live. That there's a benefit. There's an awakening, a revelation. There's glory. If we'll walk with God, if we'll live for God. Look at verse 9, if you will. "And the Lord thy God will make thee plenteous in every work of thine hand." How many of you like to have success in what you do? Does anybody like to fail? I knew that was going to happen. Well, that's probably why it happened. Because you had no confidence. Because you predetermined that it wasn't going to work out. I knew that's how this was going to work out. You determined that it was going to work out that way. You made it do that. But to be successful, I like to do something the first time and that be the last time. If I'm building something or working on something, to put it together and take it apart and put it back together and take it apart. And I know that's just part of the process sometimes, isn't it, Brother Ronnie? But I like to do it once and be done. And so he says here, "The Lord thy God will make thee plenteous in every work of thine hand." It'll work. It'll be successful. It'll be done well. It'll be done right. "In the fruit of thy body, in the fruit of thy cattle, in the fruit of thy land, for good, for the Lord will again rejoice over thee for good as he rejoiced over thy fathers." So we talk about history, right? We're looking at something that's going on right now. What's that in history? Wars and rumors of wars, economic collapse, inflation, right? Gas prices. You say, I've never paid this much for gas. I know, but, you know, when we went from 25 cents a gallon up to, you know, the 50 cents and 99 cents, and I can remember my dad saying, when cigarettes get over a dollar a pack, I'm quitting, right? And he did. But what's a little pack of cigarettes cost now? $8, $10? Oh, that's expensive, isn't it? Good thing Dad quit when he did. But that's the way it is, and that's the way it's been in our lives, is we begin with this idea of, well, I'm never going to pay that much. But that inflation, and here we are in that cycle. And what's that cycle doing? It's a bunch of little cycles. Guys, the cycle we're looking at right now and the suggestions that we're talking about right now, as far as the price of fuel and the price of food and all this stuff that we're facing, is that a sign of the times? Did we say that over here? Right? I mean, but here's the thing. That cycle is cycling, but eventually that final cycle is going to strike midnight, and the trumpet's going to sound. So, pestilence and disease, and guys, the things we're seeing today and the things we've seen over the last couple of years, it's like I'm reading the Bible in like real time. This stuff's actually coming to pass. And the biggest thing, I don't want to get sidetracked. How much time do we have? The biggest thing is the difference with a lot of those. What's the biggest? You know the answer to this. On that cycle, all those little cycles that we've gone through, what's one of the biggest differences today? Everything's in place. What's one of the biggest historical facts? Differences of this, of if it happens now compared to the Great Depression back in the 30s. Israel is a nation. The army has been raised up. That's one of the biggest differences. And with the establishment of the nation of Israel, that's one of the factors that we have to take into consideration. So we have that, plus we have what else? Give me a couple. We'll just spend a little bit of time here. Okay, the portions of the temple and the preparation of the temple. Okay, escalation of violence, right? Father against son and mother against daughter. I'm looking for one thing in particular. So just fall. Okay, great falling away. Okay, climate change, right? It's real. By the way, we can't change it. Let me just put that out there for everybody to thought, oh, it's a liberal. No, we can't change it. Okay, we have satellite, cable. Here we go. That's the one I was looking for. We've got that little tracker that we can put in your hand, and we can scan it. Not only that, but we can use a fear tactic to make you get it. And we've got rules and policies that says you can't fly unless you have it. You can't travel unless you have it. You can't cross the state line unless you have it. You can't put your kid in school unless you have it. Can't buy groceries unless you have it. Guys, we are so close. Those little circles are getting so close to that final step. And you say, well, Pastor, I don't believe all that. Read your Bible. It's all coming to pass in our day. So what if Jesus does come back today? Are you ready? Are you ready to stand before God or fall before God? Have you accepted Him as your Savior? Do you know beyond a shadow of doubt that you trusted Christ and He's washed all your sins away? If not, right now, pray and forget everything I'm talking about and just talk to God. Oh, yeah. I can remember Sister Barbara coming to me one time, and this has been a while ago, and she said, I walked in Walmart, and my phone buzzed, and I looked at it, and it had a Walmart-like coupon or something on it. Just walked through the door, and the phone said, oh, you're at Walmart. Here's the deal while you're there. Oh, you're in a Home Depot. Go to aisle 7, shelf 3. There's a special deal. Guys, that's the reality. And anybody that doesn't understand that is just not paying attention. That's the kind way of saying it. All right. Verse 10. If thou shalt hearken, we're in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse number 10. If thou shalt hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God to keep his commandments and his statutes which are written in this book of the law, if thou turn to the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, for this commandment, which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. Well, Lord, I didn't know. You didn't know. Now, is it possible that someone will stand before God and plead ignorance? Sure it is. Whose fault is that? The church's fault. Guys, we ought to be talking about Jesus. We ought to be talking. I know when it comes to theological concepts and teachings that when we say the word rapture, that puts us way out here in crazy land with a lot of people. I'm not talking about buying Nikes and laying in your bunk bed because he's coming tonight. All right, this is not a cult. We're talking about truth. Guys, the Bible we preach, the doctrine that we teach has evidence over and over and over of the fulfillment that God has brought to pass, the prophecies which he said would come true. He told them, you know, in this period of time that we're studying in Deuteronomy, he told them what would happen, and it happened. Think about Jeremiah. Jeremiah said, look, God's going to bring in somebody and going to sweep us away and take us to a foreign land. Oh, by the way, you'll be there 70 years. The prophecy, the timing of the prophecy, the placement of the prophecy, it's so real, it's so true. And people say, I don't believe that. Then study some archaeology. By the way, study some science. There is no battle between science and the scripture. God is the greatest scientist there ever was. He designed it. He created it. All that was true. And we, you know, there are more discoveries that keep coming to pass. And we say, oh, we didn't know that. Well, the Bible said a long time ago. Well, and particularly if you think about it, the little piece of land. You go to Israel and you travel all across the country and you're going to find a lot of places that are not developed. And what are they fighting over? They're fighting over that little city called Jerusalem. Yes, ma'am. That's right. Bunch. That's right. That's right. We none of us have a promise of today. Amen. All right. Look at verse 11, if you will. This commandment, which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? Right? How hard was it for you to get to the Bible today? Probably sitting on a table somewhere nearby or on a shelf somewhere, maybe on your nightstand because you read it just before you go to sleep. So it was available. So you have it available. You didn't have to send somebody off to get the message, to find the prophecy, to find the truth. And, you know, reading is one of those fundamental things. A lot of people learn how to read by reading their Bible. And I bet that was hard. Right? But they learned how to read by reading their Bible. And one of the boys asked me the other day, he said, Dad, I want to learn how to read a chapter book. Right? They read the little books in first grade. I want to learn to read a chapter book. I said, well, read your Bible. It's got lots of chapters. That's big. That's a lot to read. Right? But it's available. We don't have to send off. You don't have to go to college to learn it. We have free training here, at least 4 hours a week. Yes, ma'am. That's right. That's the great thing about your phone. You can just make it bigger and read it, right? And devotionals, I mean, it's available. We don't have to send away for it. Verse number 13, neither is it beyond the sea. Thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? Right? We don't have to go to Israel. How many people have been to Israel in this room? kind of slim, isn't it? I remember my pastor when I was about, 14. Remember he said, I went to Israel. And I went to Jerusalem and I went to the Garden Tomb. And he said there was a group of us that went, and he said one of my friends went in the Garden Tomb. And when he came out, he said, praise the Lord, he's not in there. And my friend pastor said, I could have told you that back in Florida. We don't have to go look at, I don't have to see the empty tomb. The Bible tells me it's empty. I don't have to go to the Red Sea and find that underwater bridge that I hear about where they found the chariot wheels and parts of the Egyptian army and the armor of Egyptian army that was drowned in the Red Sea. I don't have to go see that. The Bible tells me that he drowned them. I don't have to look for it. I don't have to go to Calvary. I don't have to find a piece of the cross. I don't have to find, you know, some shroud that they say, well, Jesus wore this when he was buried. I don't have to see a cup that he drank out of. I don't need that. Because we have the Word of God. We can read it. If we can't read it, we can listen to it. Just play it. Just find it online, hit play, and somebody will read it to you. I think you could probably get it in a Spanish voice if that's what you want. Right, female, male, young, old, all different voices. People will read the Bible to you. We don't have to go looking for it. Verse 14, the word is nigh, very nigh unto thee. In thy mouth, in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. We have no excuse, do we? The scripture is available. The truth, the warnings, the promises. All available. All available to us. Verse 15, see, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil. Please understand something. We don't have to manipulate anybody to believe in God. I can't make anyone believe in God. What's my job? Just present it to them. Just offer it to them. One of the best ways to do that is to say, you know what happened to me? See, I knew I was a sinner. By the way, I grew up in church. I went to church 9 months before I was even born. Grew up in church, went to Sunday school, sang in the choir, participated in youth activities. I mean, we were at church. We couldn't wait to go to church. And that was good. By the way, I was still hell bound. Until I prayed from my heart to God's heart and said, God, forgive me. I put my faith in Jesus and ask you to forgive my sins. That's what made the difference. When I trusted Jesus as my Savior. You see, religion won't save you. Baptism won't save you. Church won't save you. Only faith in Christ will forgive us, will save us. I have set before thee this day life and good. People say, Pastor, are you disappointed in me? I usually just tell them no. Well, how can that be true? Because I know how wretched we are. Yeah, honestly, I expected better. I expect you to do better. But see, I know this. I know that I can fall and I know you can fall. I know that you can sin and I can sin. I know that you mess up and I mess up. And so, am I disappointed? Well, I mean, I knew you had it in you. But see, I also know that you have it in you to do right. I put before you today life and death and good and evil, and it's up to you to choose which one you're going to go to. Verse 16, In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, walk in his ways, keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply. The Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land where thou go to possess it. But if thy heart turn away, so thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce to you this day that ye shall surely perish. Verse 19, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. I have set before you life and death, a blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and thou mayest obey his voice. that thou mayest cleave to him. For he is thy life and the length of thy days. Isn't that incredible? What would they do? They do like we do. Sometimes they do right. Sometimes they do wrong. But what's important is to remember that sin always, always has a consequence. You say, "Ooh, I got away with that." No, you didn't. You really didn't. There's a consequence. You may not realize it when it happens, but sin always has a consequence. Anything else? Let's take a break.